The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1 at 10pm with Dave Kellner, Sean Quinn and Luke Elder in the studio. It's Plumpton and Wolverhampton to look forward to on Monday. Unfortunately, no racing from air. That meeting abandoned due to storm damage, but we've still got two meetings to look ahead to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Very well, Mark. And yourself?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thanks. We'll have a quick look back at some of Saturday's big winners before we move on to Monday, because plenty to talk about. And we'll start with Duvan, who was very impressive in winning the Moscow Flying Novice Hurdle in Punchestown. He won with consummate ease, and that's seen him go to the top of the Supreme Novices Hurdle betting. And I'm just trying to get the price up here. He went about 5-2 yesterday, and he's currently... It's still 5-2 at the top of the market.
He's gone short,
the same,
isn't he?
Yeah, he's gone the same route as Vautour, though, and it was very impressive. So you can see why he's shortened.
Yeah, and that, you know, you can draw similarities with Duvan and Vautour all day long, taking the same route, trained by the same man, ridden by the same jockey for the same owner. You know, he's a French-bred horse, as is Vautour. So there are many, many similarities with Duvan, and he looked very, very good yesterday. Albeit he didn't have to beat a huge amount, but still there were good solid horses that he beat, and as you touched on, he beat them with such ease. It was hard not to be impressed with him. Bookmakers have acted accordingly, and you know, as I said, I think 5-2 is just very short. I could think of better 5-2 shots that I'd be backing at this moment in time. Let's not forget, you know, we've 2 months to go until the festival, and he looks to have a very, very worthy contender, worthy rival this side of the water in the shape of Lamy Surge, who is already a Grade 1 winner and is improving at a rate of knots. So, I think Duvan's credentials are obvious. He's clearly a top-notch horse in the making, but his price just doesn't do a great deal for me, Mark.
Okay. Interestingly as well, Duvan probably going to go straight to the festival now. William Willen's saying he imagines that he'll go straight to Cheltenham. Obviously, we saw Vautour running the Deloitte, well, win the Deloitte afterwards. So we're kind of not going to learn any more about him. So do you take 5-2 about him?
Exactly. I could see him maybe touching it a little bit bigger on the day. Particularly with the Supreme being the first race, William Hill, along with all the bookmakers, they're likely to be throwing offers at punters left, right and centre. And surely he won't be shorter than 5-2 on the day anyway, Mark. So yeah. Whether you take it now, or if you fancy him, or if you sit and hold tight, I'd probably be inclined to sit and hold tight if I was wanting to play Duvan in the Supreme Novices. But interesting that he goes straight there. I don't think it's surprising. I think many horses that we've seen this month, of course, Lamy Surge, the Tolworth winner, he's probably going to go straight to Cheltenham as well. You know, the ground is testing enough at this moment in time, and horses, no matter how well they look to win visually, that they don't have an easy race on very soft ground. So I think it probably makes sense. And let's not forget, we build Cheltenham up as the be-all and end-all, but in many ways it's only the starting point, Cheltenham, because of course Aintree, Punchestown and Fairy House roll on the back of it. So you've got four big meetings, of which Cheltenham is the first. So you want to save a little bit of juice for after Cheltenham as well. And this year there's a 4-week gap between Cheltenham and Aintree, so a lot of horses, a lot of trainers and owners are going to want to target Cheltenham and Aintree, whereas in the past that maybe hasn't been a viable option when we've had less time between them.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Let's look at some of the winners domestically as well. Hawks Point was a winner of the Classic Chase, an impressive winner as well. He's got a quote for the Grand National as well, but it was a nice winner on the day, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was.
Headgear seemed to work for the first time.
It did, and he did it quite well. Beat Theatrical Star and Shotgun Paddy, two fancied horses. The form looks strong, and it'll be interesting to see where they go with Hawks Point after this. The Grand National has to be in the back of their minds. interesting that he was turned out so quickly by Paul Nicholls following a poor run in the Welsh National. But as you say, the application of headgear has worked the oracle with him, and there might be a little bit more to come from him, given that we've seen he stays 3 mile 5 in very testing ground. He's got to be a major player in these staying handicaps for a couple of years, you'd imagine.
Mm. Yeah, 33-1 for anybody who wants to back Hawke's Point for the Grand National. Let's move on to the William Hill Lanzarote hurdle, the big race at Kempton on Saturday. T for two, well backed throughout the week, really. Went off 9-2 favourite, and well, he's absolutely run away with it, hasn't he, in the end?
He has. He made a mockery of his rivals. You know, bounced out towards the head of affairs by his regular pilot, Lizzie Kelly, as is his wont, really. T for two. He was very, very impressive. One off a mark of 1.34. He's going to go up to a mark in the high 140s, you'd imagine. But he's got to be a player in some of the big staying novice hurdles in the spring. I know connections maybe aren't so keen to go to Cheltenham with him. That's not the be all and end all. And of course, you know, there are big prizes at Aintree. You've got the 2.5 mile race, the Mersey novices hurdle, and the 3 mile race, the Sefton novices hurdle. They don't always take the most winning in the world, particularly as we see horses that go to Cheltenham and go on to it don't have a great record in those sort of races. So if T for two was kept fresh for them, then he'd have to be a player, although he'd have to show his form on quicker ground, you'd imagine. He's won on good ground in the past, but that was only a bumper, and he scraped home by a head, so it might be that he's a little bit more comfortable on ground with a slight ease in it.
Yeah, so they mentioned that they might end up sending him to France for a race or two because more likely to get soft ground. So.
Yeah, and you know, Nick Williams and his team aren't based too far from the Channel. They have plenty of runners in France, so that would seem a prudent option should they choose to go down that path.
Yeah, and Nick Williams, by the way, three runners in the William Hill Lanzarote hurdle. Three winners in the William Hill Lanzarote hurdle.
Yeah, what were the other two? I backed one of them, so I should know.
He had James DeVassy in 2011.
Swink and Flame, that was the one I backed. Yeah. So, no, good record in the race, and you know, he's enjoying a very good season. Nicky's landed some good prizes this season, and that's what it's all about. He doesn't have the biggest string in the world, but what the horses that he does have are all up to winning and a good few of them running in nice races.
Mm. Okay. Anything else stand out to you on Saturday before we move on to Monday?
Not particularly, Mark, because I was at Wetherby all day, so I didn't see too much racing from elsewhere. And with regards to the Wetherby card, I thought it was just an okay card. I didn't take anything from it going forward, although Mickey Hammond won the bumper the last race with a horse called Sherry. Won quite nicely. I don't think it was a bad bumper that race, so Sherry might be a horse to keep an eye on going forward if kept to the Northern Circuit.
Okay. Yeah, you had a run in that bumper, didn't you?
Yeah.
What did you make of his performance? Her performance? Yeah. Sorry, Tigress.
She ran okay. She'd been working quite well at home. She was sent off favourite. She was very, very short for a horse making its debut. But she finished fifth. She ran okay. She probably wants further, but. She was beaten fair and square, which would suggest to me that the race wasn't a bad one.
Okay, fair enough. Well, let's move on to Monday's action then. Sean's picked out three races for us, a couple at Plumpton and one of them at Wolverhampton, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll go through these in order of meeting. So we'll go through the two races at Plumpton first, and then head to Wolverhampton for Sean's third selection, starting in the 120 at Plumpton, which is a Class 4 novices hurdle over 2 miles. We have 11 of them in the lineup here, Sean. Which ones have caught your eye so far?
I think we've got to start with Jebril, don't we? The top weight. He's got a conceded weight to the rest of them as a result of him winning a maiden hurdle at Plumpton back in October. But since then, he's shown really good form. He ran Jolly's Cracked It to a length in an Ascot novice race. He was then fifth behind Akalim in a decent-looking Huntingdon novices hurdle. And then last time out in the Ladbroke hurdle over Christmas, he didn't disgrace himself. He finished mid-div, beaten 15 and a half lengths. But crucially for a novice, he'll have gained a huge amount of experience in that race. And coming back into novice company here, he's going to be very, very hard to beat. I know he's got to concede over a stone to Ryolian, which will be no easy job, because Ryolian is a decent horse. He was decent on the flat, an improver, and he looks like he could be a slow burner, but a horse with improvement in him over hurdles. Last time out at Newbury, he actually looked like he might take a big hand in the race up until up until quite late in the race. I think he led coming to the last hurdle and then just folded. But that race was won by Top Notch, who's been mooted as a Triumph Hurdle candidate for Nicky Henderson. The second horse, Mick Jazz, had an official rating of 131 going into the race. So I think it was a pretty decent juvenile hurdle. Ryolian has to be respected for connections, particularly connections that love having winners here at one of their local tracks in Plumpton. Of the rest of them, I think the rest of them are playing for place honours, but I'd expect Golden Dancer to build on his hurdling debut. He was very disappointing on hurdling debut at Market Raisin early in December, but before that he'd shown decent form in bumpers in Ireland, running behind the likes of On Impulse, Lord Scoundrel and Killer Crow, and running creditably. So he definitely has ability. He needs to brush up his jumping and improve, but he may well do that, just that, and could be one to keep an eye on in the short term. Which way I sway between Ryolian and Jebril, it's hard, but I'll just side with Jebril because I think Ryolian will ensure that he goes off a bigger price than he maybe otherwise would. And just the fact that he will be battle-hardened, having come from a Ladbrokes hurdle, I'll sway that way.
Yeah, it's plenty in his favour. In the previous course and distance winner, back into novice company after running in a race like the Ladbrokes, it's plenty in his favour.
Yeah, there are lots of ticks in the boxes, aren't there?
The 3 or 5 at Plumpton is where we go next. This is a novices limited handicap chase. It's over 2.5 miles. Only 5 of them in the lineup for this one, Sean. Which one do you side with?
A tight little contest here with just the 5 runners, but I thought you could make a case for 4 of the 5. Tigre Dower on the top weight was a winner here at Plumpton 2 starts back in impressive company and was sent off favourite to follow up that win in December at Lingfield. He pulled up, which was a little bit disappointing, well, very disappointing, given that there seemed to be no obvious excuses. Golanova was second in the same said race. The ground was very testing that day, but the fact that Tigre Dower had shown form in testing ground the time before leaves you with very few excuses for the horse. So a watching brief might be advised for him on this occasion. The next one in the weights is Parting Away. Tim Vaughan and Richard Johnson team up with this horse, as they did at Huntingdon last time out when he was third behind Rendezvous Peak. I didn't think that was a bad run. He was stepping up in trip for the first time that day. I think he proved that he stayed the trip. He has obvious claims again this afternoon. This is his chase debut. It's interesting that connections haven't wasted much time with him over hurdles. He just looked at an okay horse over hurdles, a fair horse without being anything exceptional. So the fact that they're going chasing so soon suggests that they feel he might have a better future in this sphere. Golanova is fitted with the first-time visor. As I mentioned, he was second at Lingfield back in December. He was fourth at Sandown last time out, just over a week ago in a race won by Fairy Wrath. The ground was very, very testing that day, given as soft, but I've no doubt it was heavy that day. And Golanova didn't shape too badly, considering that race was definitely a stronger race than this one, Mark. Then we have Regal Flow, a horse who was a winner at Taunton in October. His form has just been okay since then, and I think he'll do well to beat the 3 aforementioned horses. I'll probably just go with Golanova in the first-time visor. He takes a drop in class, and it's to be hoped that the visor can have the desired effect, but I think the biggest danger might rate as Parting Away.
Okay, Golden Over then, the first-time visor to do the trick for the Gary Moore runner in the 3.05. And onto the 2.55 at Wolverhampton next. This one is a Class 3 handicap over the extended mile. 5 of them in the lineup for this one. And I suppose Pearl Nation's form is there for everybody to see, probably the pick of the form at the moment. That was at Southall, which maybe would be a bit of a concern, but he has run well at Wolverhampton in the past.
He has run well at Wolverhampton in the past, as you say. He's never won at Wolverhampton, but he's got some strong pieces of form to his name, and I don't think we can knock his Wolverhampton form too much. He just found it nine impossible to give his stablemate Starfield over a stone last time out at Southall, but ran a really good race and beat some decent Southall performers in the likes of Patriotic and Bogner. So he has obvious claims, but again he's shouldered with that top weight, and he's got to give some decent horses a fair bit of weight. Energia Flavio was third here at the track on Boxing Day in a race won by Brocklebank. Solidarity was second. I think that race was pretty okay. I think it was a good race. And Energia Flavio, that run suggested that this horse is not too far from being ready to strike. Yet to win in the UK, but in fairness, Marco Botti has had to run him in some decent races because of the handicap mark that he was allotted. His mark has slipped, though. It started off at 100. He's now racing off 91, and Ryan Tate takes off a further £3, so his claims are obvious. Half a sixpence is a former winner of the Newbury Spring Cup. I think he won that race back in 2013. Yes, that's right. Beating Guest of Honour off a mark of 85. We haven't seen loads of him since then, which is a slight worry. He's obviously had injury problems, but he might have just needed his last few runs to make him razor sharp. That said, though, he'll need to step forward on what we've seen. Santa Fizio is a capable performer on his day, but probably isn't the force of old now that he's turned nine. So I think this probably lies between Pearl Nation and Energia Flavio. And I'm going to go with Marco Bossi's charge, Energia Flavio.
Okay, good stuff. As always, and Sean, let's just have a quick summary before you go.
Yep, in the 120 from Plumpton, I'm going to side with top weight Jebril, although I have a lot of respect for the four-year-old Ryolian. In the 305, I'm going to go with Gary Moore's horse Golanova. The main danger might rate as parting way. And in the 255 from Wolverhampton, I'm going to side with Energia Flavio, who ran a good race here at the track last time out. Hopefully he can build on that and go two better.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Sean. Good luck and enjoy it on Monday.
Cheers, Mark.
And Sean will be in the studio on Monday. He'll be joined by Dave Kellner and Luke Elder. We have Plumpton and Wolverhampton. It's all live from 1:10 p.m. on William Hill Racing Radio, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.